Radio. This is a talk by Dr. Matthew Tan entitled Runaway Soul, The Postmodern City and Theologies of Escape. It was recorded at the 2013 conference of the Centre of Theology and Philosophy at Oxford University.
Well, good morning, everybody. It's an absolute pleasure to be here. What this paper hopes to do is to contribute to Christian analyses of cities with reference to the theme of running away. What the paper argues is that the postmodern city is one in which the soul is not only recognized, but also celebrated. And that part of the celebration of the soul lies in its calling on the soul to escape its confines. The paper argues that this narrative of escape is of theological significance, for the narrative works on an impulse that is affirmed in the Christian tradition. Nevertheless, the profound similarities that you find between the Christian and pop cultural takes on the soul's escape from bondage are qualified nonetheless by severe divergences, which arguably only a Christian theological vocabulary can uncover. The paper will outline first the similarities and divergences, and finally the consequences, before concluding with a few suggestions on how Christ provides the key to a true escape, reconciling the divergences with the postmodern city and consummating its similarities. Now, a paper talking about the soul's escape in the postmodern city would first need to quickly flag the relationship between the postmodern city and the soul more generally. Indeed, the link between urban life and the soul is not new. In Book 4 of the Republic, Plato stated that the arrangements of the city are but analogues of those of the soul. The urban spatializes the soul, and it spatializes the soul by working on the body. Thomas Aquinas reminded us that the movements of the body within such spaces impact on the movements of the soul as well. So the link between the city, the body, and the soul is something that continues on in post-modernity, but on terms that are very different. Whilst the classical and medieval city mapped itself out onto a city dweller that was characterized by an integrally harmonized body, the postmodern city is mapping itself out onto a citizen that is marked by what Graham Ward calls a displaced body. That is, a body that is constantly being dispersed and reassembled, such that personhood and knowledge are underpinned by a mapping out of any one embodied person onto the bodies of others. And this displaced embodiment in the postmodern city is a significant source of theological grist, because it opens up the possibilities for the citizen of the postmodern city to overlap with displacements of another body in another city, that other city being the body of Christ. For as our formation in citizenship in the postmodern city consists in our being displaced by our fellow citizens, so is our becoming Christ-like, synonymous with the displacing of our mortal flesh to make space for the animated flesh of Christ. This is in Romans chapter 8, verse 10. However, if such displacements of the body in postmodernity can lend themselves to the divinization that comes from a co-abiding in Christ, then the soul can also be moved by secular displacements, secular gospels, if you will, which mimic the Christian gospel, but leads the soul to things other than Christ. Now, at this point, I'm going to turn attention to the question of how these secular gospels speak to the soul. This paper asserts that one aspect of this secular gospel is the soul's running away from bondage, running away as a means of the soul's salvation. The absence of coverage on the theme of running away in popular culture is curious, given that the postmodern city seems to make the peddling of narratives of running away a prominent aspect of its product range. Stories of running away abound within postmodern culture generally, particularly in advertisements for holidays in other countries. Just think of New Zealand's 100% campaign and its associations of escape to Middle Earth, or cars as a means of escape from the city to the purity of the countryside. Films like The Island, Kazuo Ishiguro's Never Let Me Go, Leaving Las Vegas, Thelma and Louise, No Country for Old Men. TV shows like Prison Break and The Walking Dead all have escape from bondage as the central trope. And this is not just an adult phenomenon. Kids from a very young age are introduced to this narrative through movies like Madagascar and Chicken Run. In music, the theme of running away has been immortalized in songs like Bruce Springsteen's Born to Run, with his confident declaration that says, quote, "Tramps like us, baby, we were born to run," unquote. Tracy Chapman's Fast Car, in which she acts on her plan to get us out of here, quote unquote. The list goes on with U2's Where the Streets Have No Name, Runaway by The Corrs, Edge of Glory by Lady Gaga. And then there's also Linkin Park, Pink, Yellow Card, Avril Lavigne, and especially Evanescence, all adding their own contribution to the corpus of artistic artifacts in which running away is a major theme. Moreover, many of these songs equate running away with an escape from bondage and disillusionment into states of authenticity, belonging, and flourishing. We should not be surprised by this equation, since pop culture is a product of the postmodern city, and the postmodern city is a postmodern assembly of the soul as a displaced body. The next question to be asked is whether a specifically Christian theology should have any position on the confluence between the postmodern city, the soul, and running away. This paper asserts that it should. On the one hand, Christian theology should be sympathetic to the ubiquitous impulse to run away because it is a good, divinely ordained impulse. On the other hand, theology should be critical of the fact that pop culture's acting on the impulse to escape does not serve to extend, but merely parody the Christian mode of running away. First, to the similarities. These similarities can be found at the starting point of the narrative of running away, which can be loosely termed a situation of entrapment. A constant, particularly in pop songs, is the expression of a feeling of disillusionment with one's present situation within the postmodern city. U2, for instance, proclaim at the start of Where the Streets Have No Name with the line, "I want to run, I want to hide, I want to tear down the walls that hold me inside." Now, from this confinement, U2 declares its desire for liberation from confinement to a vast expanse. This is subtly hinted at in the next stanza, "I want to feel sunlight on my face," quote unquote. Failure to remove oneself from bondage will lead to decay, eventual death, or worse still, boredom. Witness, for instance, Tracy Chapman's last line in the stanza of Fast Car that forces a decision upon the listener to the song. It begins, "We've got to make a decision, leave tonight or live and die this way. We need to leave for the expanse of the open road or perish under the confinement of this city." A similar pattern of realization of the confinement by one's present situation can actually be found in sacred scripture. In the book of Exodus, for instance, it shows how the unfolding of God's plan for the redemption of the world through one nation begins from that nation's enslavement and desire for liberation in Exodus chapter 2, verse 23, when God hears Israel's groaning in their slavery and facilitates Israel's escape out of a heavily urbanized Egypt into the vast expanse of the Sinai Desert. A more powerful constant emerges when one considers the next step of the pattern of running away, namely that the escape from confinement to the vast expanse occurs with a lover. Lady Gaga's Edge of Glory makes no bones, no pun intended, of the fact that her running to the edge is so that she and her random hookup for the night can, quote, "both fall far in love." In much subtler terms, Springsteen's Born to Run involves, and his escape involves an exhortation to a woman named Wendy to, quote, "just wrap your legs around these velvet rims and strap your hands across my engines so that together we can break this trap." Indeed, the lover and the cleaving to that lover appears to be an indispensable part of a successful escape and achieving authenticity and liberation. And here again, we find similar themes running through the Christian tradition. While God does not necessarily ask Israel to wrap her legs around a velvet rim, the escape of Israel into the Sinai Desert was coupled with a forging of an essentially marital covenant. Indeed, the escape into the desert has, in prophets like Hosea, been regarded as a form of seduction of Israel by God. The fourth poem of the Song of Songs painfully depicts a maiden's attempt to flee the city in search of her beloved, who seduces her at the door of her home and then vanishes. Christian mysticism evinces similar tendencies when, for example, St. John of the Cross's Dark Night of the Soul frames the soul's journey to God in terms of one's escape from the confines of the family home, so that in the darkness of night, the lover could unite and move in unison with the beloved. Indeed, the song Anywhere from Evanescence, in its depictions of longing for freedom, escaping with a loved one so that one's guard can be dropped down and one's life can be given over to another, is virtually a replica of St. John's Dark Night. This should not surprise us, since, as Paul's second letter to the Corinthians reminds us, the template of the Christian life is one of giving oneself in marriage to Christ. This is in chapter 11, verse 2. As you can see, we have profound similarities between pop culture and the Christian tradition on the topic of running away. Nonetheless, upon closer inspection, they also emerge within popular culture serious divergences that either mock or frustrate the escape within the Christian tradition. First, while the cleavage to the beloved provides a constant reference point for the escapee, consider how the escape within pop culture goes into a vast expanse but never posits any fixed destination to which one can belong. Tracy Chapman has great hope in escaping where she is now with the exclamation, "Any place is better." But where is this place? She does not say. Springsteen's desire to run has no destination. U2's forms of escape tears down the walls, but their roadmap contains only an anonymous place where the streets have no name, as the title says. Now, that same anonymity is the endpoint in Evanescence's song, tellingly entitled Anywhere, where the dreamed-of place is a place where, quote, no one knows who we are. It is almost as if the most important thing is the escape itself rather than the destination to which one escapes, as evinced in teen rock band's Yellow Card's Ocean Avenue, which expresses exuberance at the thought that we can leave this town and run forever. This must be contrasted against the Christian tradition, in which the process of escape into the great unknown is but a prelude. Escape does come to a terminus in the Christian tradition. In Exodus, a 40-year escapade in the desert is brought to a geographical terminus in the land of Canaan. The covenantal mode of escape in the Song of Songs ends in the person of God. The incarnation brings together both the geographical and the personal terminus, as evinced in Augustine's 93rd sermon, in which Augustine says that Christ is, quote, the home country which we are going to and the way we are going by. The second divergence is largely a tragic result of the first. The divergence lies in the response to a point of vulnerability that opens up with the process of displacement as manifested in escape. As mentioned earlier, the cleavage to the beloved is unsurprising given the imperative for displacement in the postmodern city. This cleavage represents a crucial juncture in the process of escape, which can lead to two possible outcomes. Evanescence hints at the first hopeful possibility in their bridge to Anywhere, giving of one's life only to the beloved, so that one can, quote, forget this life, not look back, unlock one's heart, and drop one's guard. In this picture, displacement is a cleavage that gives way to vulnerability, that in turn gives way to communion. But this is an ideal to which many depictions of escape within pop culture fail to live up to, and they fail precisely because of the postmodern city's repetition of modern materialism. The postmodern city is a fully immanent frame. And so, despite the best intentions, the transcendent in the postmodern city is relegated to the realm of make-believe. For all the talk about the soul, the postmodern city locks such talk within a cage of sheer immanence. This is significant because the completion of the sequence from displacement to cleaving to vulnerability to communion is something that is only realized transcendentally and eschatologically. It is transcendent because the archetype of displacement and communion is profoundly Trinitarian, and it is eschatological because the displacement of Christ is consummated at the wedding feast of the Lamb in the book of Revelation. But as Graham Ward reminds us, the postmodern city is one where what truly matters is the intensity of the temporal present. And the need for this intensity strips the present from all other moments and obscures the transcendent and the eschatological from consciousness. Stricken from this transcendent and eschatological horizon, the process of displacement stalls and collapses upon itself. Displacement reels back and leads not to communion, but to oblivion. And in the face of oblivion, we all employ defense mechanisms to reassert our dominance. In the postmodern city, this defense mechanism very often manifests itself in codependent acts of consumption. In Tracy Chapman's Fast Car, for instance, her escape from an alcoholic father goes no further than landing a dead-end job that pays her bills, while her partner to which she cleaves squanders what is left on alcohol. It's little different in the movie world. In Leaving Las Vegas, a couple's attempt to escape from the disillusionment of Las Vegas culminates in contractually sealed acts of possession and consumption of both products, in this case alcohol, and people. For indeed, what are people in the postmodern city but just another product? In the sheer imminence of the postmodern city, escape goes no further than the surface of the commodities that one consumes as the means of escape. Running away in the postmodern city is thus self-indulgent escapism. It is but an illusion whose only tie with reality is the surface of a ticket for a holiday, the surface of a screen of a cinema or a pornographic shoot, the surface of the body of a dance partner, whether that dance is in the publicity of a nightclub or the privacy of a hotel room, or the surface of the beverage which disappears down one's throat, surfaces which are ephemeral and disappear upon consumption. And herein lies the tragedy. For the fusing of the soul's escape with consumption of commodities ends up locking the escapee within the very city from which escape is sought. This is because it is only through this city that the means of escape are manufactured and made available. Escape in the postmodern city becomes a never-ending cycle of captivity, momentary distraction, and then captivity again. In the postmodern city, the God-given impulse to escape Egypt ends not in the heavenly halls of Jerusalem, but back in the dust of Egypt. This cycle does not liberate. It only bolsters the patterns of consumption in the postmodern city as we pick ourselves up from the disillusionment of the last act of consumptive escape and wait for the next manufactured opportunity offered to us. To conclude, we have seen that the Christian tradition has within its sources of revelation an affirmation of the impulse to escape. And to the extent that popular culture portrays this impulse, Christian theology should pay attention and show sympathy. Theology's sympathy, however, should end at the point in which the postmodern city becomes an extension of modern materialism and only pretends to pay homage to the soul and its need for escape. And in this pretense, the soul's escape is indefinitely frustrated. If the root of this frustration lies in its residual modernity, the celebration of the soul's escape might come from a properly postmodern city, a postmodern city which rejects the materialism and the consumption of the modern city. The postmodern city is a city that trades the generic and contentless transcendence for the dense particularity of religious tradition, including the Christian tradition. For as Augustine says, it is Christ that holds in place and brings to completion all the tropes of escape in the postmodern city that are paid lip service to. For Christ is the escape route. He is the way, as the Gospel of John reminds us. He goes beyond the vagaries of the postmodern city's version of escape, positing himself as both the concrete geographical and personal terminus. He is the lover to whom the escapee must cleave. In Christ, escape is not a liberation from the bondage from a home, as it is in pop culture. Rather, liberation in Christ comes from a removal from bondage from a false home towards a true home. The incarnate word presents the convergence of the transcendent with the immanent. And as a sacramental word, Christ gives us a constant portal of that convergence in his Eucharistic body. It is towards that Eucharistic body where a true act of running away can occur. For in that body lies the city of God, lies our true home. And in that sacramental co-abiding in Christ, we find that God-given impulse to escape the city of man, executed, purified, and sanctified. I thank you for your attention.
That was Dr. Matthew Tan speaking on Runaway Soul, the Postmodern City and Theologies of Escape. For more talks, interviews, and podcasts, visit cradio.org.au.